Awesome. Hey, if you don't know, today's message is titled Adventure Time. Hey, how good. Now you'll see our left projector is not working today. We've had some technical difficulties and we will try and get that resolved. But how good is that we don't need projectors to worship God? Amen? Amen? Amen. I said to Rivs last week, hey, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we didn't have projectors. We didn't have all of the sound gear, and yet they worshiped God, right? They worshiped God. I remember being a kid swapping over the, the sheets on the projector, overhead projector. Is it called? Yeah, overhead projector. Anyway, swapping over the sheets, and if you were getting really good, you magnified it and you rolled down the screen. Anyway, let's see. That's all right. We'll get there. So today's message is titled Adventure Time. But first I want to ask, who's seen the movie Yes Man? With Jim Carrey, Yes Man? Okay, great. Hey, this is going to go down well because nobody's seen it. Awesome. Hey, the premise of the movie is that Jim Carrey's character is always saying no to everything. He's always saying no. He's just this really boring guy. And he just says no all the time. And he gets this challenge to start saying yes with no exceptions, that he has to say yes all the time and then commit and do what he's supposed to, what he said yes to, right? And as you can imagine in this movie, the adventures ensue. Now, it's not a godly movie, so I don't suggest watching it with the kids by any stretch of the imagination, but the focus is that his life goes from just comfort and, you know, familiarity to adventure. And he becomes a better person as a result. So I want to ask you, when was your last adventure? Think about it. When was your last adventure? Maybe you're Kate sitting in the mother's room and your car broke down on Fraser Island and you had to tow it back to the Sunshine Coast and then drive back to Melbourne early. And maybe your last adventure was this week, right? Or maybe your last adventure was years ago. Maybe you can't even remember your last adventure. In our modern day, we actually rarely adventure. Reason why is that we live vicariously through others. We live vicariously through social media, through movies. We watch Yes Man and we're like, that guy has gone on a great adventure and I didn't do it, so I don't have to do it. Awesome. I want to tell you about my last adventure. My last adventure started 2 weeks ago, Wednesday morning. I got a text from Zeke, our son's basketball coach, and it said, hey, would you like to fill in for basketball tonight at 9:30? This is like 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I got the call. Will you come and will you play basketball? Now, for those of you that don't know, I love basketball, but I haven't played an organized game of basketball in 20 years. I was under 14s when I quit because all of the other kids were so big and I was so little that I couldn't play anymore. It just sucked. And so I don't remember how to play the game itself. But hey, I got the call. So I responded. I said, yep, let's do it. I'm an old man. I haven't played in 20 years. Let's have some fun. So I signed up and I said, yep, I'm gonna fill in. I got there and I got there early. And I was watching the two games either side. And I knew I was in trouble. I was watching the over 40s play. And I was like, oh, I really hope that I'm playing against those guys. Because the under 40s were playing on the other side. And they were playing so hard. I was like, oh man, I'm in trouble. Like, I'm in serious trouble. There's no way I'm going to do this. Then the other team starts to rock up. And one of the dudes that's standing there with the other team is like 7 foot tall. Oh man, I'm in so much trouble. Like, this is not going to go well if I got to play against that dude, right? And they're all coming in. I'm like, these guys know how to play. Uh-oh. So my team rocks up and there's one like maybe 6 foot two dude on our team and everybody else is like my size. Like, uh-oh. Yeah, we're really in trouble here. Plus I don't know how to play, right? So anyway, I'm starting off. I'm on the bench, right? And I sit down and I've got a score whilst I'm on the bench. And the big, tall, 7 foot dude sits next to me on the bench, sits next to me to score. And I realize that he's there to watch, he's not there to play. So my heart's like, okay, I'm all right. I'm okay. The rest of the team I might be able to take on. Maybe. We'll see. We start scoring and our team gets up. I was like, all right, cool. This is going well. I'm on the bench. That's why it's going well. How good. So anyway, I get subbed in. The coach, Zeke's coach, goes, hey, I'm coming off. You jump in. I get subbed in and I just totally forget what to do. Standing in the middle of the court doing nothing. You know, not quite. I'm just like, it's not coming back to me at all. 20 years ago, I was probably no good and I thought I was good. So that's probably what happened. I was wrecked, right? I'm running up and down the court. I'm, you know, trying to do everything that I can think of and remember, running up and down the court, and I'm wrecked. And I'm thinking, oh, my cardio's toast. My cardio's toast, I'm done. And then the halftime buzzer sounds. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe my cardio is better than I thought. I still haven't scored any points. Still haven't done anything good. By the end of the game, we're 9 points up. Our team's 9 points up. And I'm on the bench again. And one of the other players hits 3 threes in a row in the last minute and a half and ties the game. So we finished on a draw, tie game. And the outcome was really quite disappointing for the whole team. So my stat line read 0 for 2 shots, 0 assists, 1 rebound, 1 foul, 0 blocks, 0 steals, 0 turnovers, and I won't get asked to fill in again. But the outcome wasn't what was important. My little mini adventure was a bunch of fun. A tiny little mini adventure on a day. Now, some of you go on massive adventures. I hope Jeremiah and Kelsey are watching on the live stream because they're just about to go on one of the biggest adventures of their lifetime, moving overseas and studying overseas and working overseas in the UK. Sometimes we go on little mini adventures, like a fill-in basketball game. And as I've said that, Justin's never going to ask me to fill into his basketball games. You're out, gone. Maybe your adventures ensue all the time. Maybe you're Jim Carrey and Yes Man. Today's message is called Adventure Time. And so we're going to read about somebody who went on a massive adventure with God. And we're going to learn from that. So the first scripture today is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And this first part of the message is called The Call. Just like me getting the text message on WhatsApp from the basketball coach, it was The Call. This one is The Call. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Adventure starts with the call. For Abram, or Abraham, as he's later called, it was a place and a purpose that he was called to. For David later, David's called to a position and a people. God's call, or God calls away from whatever you think your purpose is into his purpose. The context here for Abram is that Abram was actually a very wealthy man. He had lots of employees. They named them slaves at the time, but he had lots of employees. He had lots of head of cattle. He had lots of things going for him. He'd inherited quite a decent wealth and a good family. He was living with his family. He was there doing well. He was in his comfort zone. But he was called away from that purpose into God's purpose. There's an unknown element. The unknown element is the outcome. See, when I was called for the basketball game, I didn't know how I was going to go. If I was called again, I probably would know how it was going to go. But I didn't know how it was going to go. And so the unknown was the outcome. See, God promises the outcome to some degree, but he doesn't say what it's exactly going to look like. The call is for every single one of us. God's God calls us all. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified." What is God calling you to? What's your adventure? Maybe God's calling you to prayer. Maybe when Emily and Reese stood up here and talked about prayer, maybe God's calling you to be a prayer warrior. You've not been praying. You've not been reading your Bible. You've not been worshiping. And God's going, come on, come back to prayer. Come to prayer. That's what I'm calling you to. Maybe God's calling you to ministry. And you do not, like, public speaking is like the worst thing ever. You don't want to do it. It's scary. Get knots in your throat and you sweat through your shirts, you know? Maybe God's calling you to ministry. Maybe God's calling you to a people and saying, I called you and I've given you this people group on your heart for a reason. Maybe God's called you to have a family, to grow your family, to build your sons and your daughters. Or maybe he's called you to restore your family, extended families. Maybe God's calling you on an adventure in your finances. Maybe he's saying, hey, I know that you've been giving a little bit to church, but you haven't been given a lot, or you've been generous, but not very generous, or maybe you haven't been giving. And God's calling you to start an adventure with your finances. Maybe he's calling you to start an adventure with your career. Hey, I know you've been doing this, but I want you to shift gears. I want you to change. Maybe he's calling you towards restoration in a relationship, forgiveness, forgiving somebody who hurt you, going on an adventure to restore a relationship. Maybe he's calling you to be an evangelist, to preach. He might be calling you to be discipled, to asking somebody, would you mentor me? Or to disciple someone. He might be calling you to a people, a place, a position. Today, God's call is for all of us, each and every one of us. When I read out each of those, I firmly believe that there is one of each of those here today. And as I read it out, you knew it was you. You sat there and you went, yeah, he read out ministry. Nah, not me. Family, finance. Oh, yeah, that's me. Part one, the call. God said, go. Would you go? Part two, the response. We're going to read the next verses. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. So Abram went. So Abram went as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him, which wasn't supposed to happen. Lot gets ditched later. But Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Maybe you've disqualified yourself of going on an adventure because you're too old. Hey, I haven't played basketball in 20 years. I was definitely too old for that adventure. Just go on it. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. God called, so Abram went. Adventure requires you to move from where you are. Adventure never falls in your lap. See, this week I was having a conversation with a friend and we were talking about how comfortable our lives are. Convenience has killed adventure. We've literally got microwaves that heat stuff up in seconds for us. We've got ducted heating. We don't even have to be cold anymore. We've got endless hot water systems and you can sit in the shower for like 45 minutes and it doesn't go cold. Imagine the adventure to go on if you didn't have a hot water system. You'd have to heat up the water and put it in the bath. And we've got coffee machines and we don't have to drink that instant rubbish. Amen. How good. God is good. We've got cars that can make traveling long distances very, very easy. We often, on the road to Sydney when we're traveling, we come through that section just before you hit the sort of metropolitan Sydney, and it's bush and ravines, and it's just, it's huge. It's an amazing piece of engineering, and it comes right down the hill really long over a bridge and then back up again, and it's covered. And we often think, man, can you imagine crossing this on horseback? Like, could you imagine crossing this on horseback? How convenient it is to have cars. Google. When we were kids and we wanted to know something, you had to go and find it. You had to figure it out. And we had encyclopedias, but you had to go to the library to get to the encyclopedia. You had to ride your bike to the library because your parents wouldn't take you. All right, like, we've got Google. We've also got social media where we don't have to go on adventures anymore. We can just, you know, search up whatever. We can search up how ridiculous, and they drop stuff off massive heights and then we see it smash and we're like, we don't have to go and do that anymore and get in trouble for it. We just watch these guys. Convenience has killed adventure. We're literally robbed of adventure due to a culture of comfort and convenience. We've got the illusion of adventure without the real thing. See, guys used to dream of going into the wilderness and surviving days on their own. And now they just sit in front of the TV and watch alone. Reese knew that was about him. We used to dream of exploring the world. Now we just watch The Amazing Race. Or even better, we just go on Google Earth, Street View, look at all the stuff. And then we hit social media, somebody's YouTube channel of them traveling and what it's like to go in first class and all of that. Like, we're not doing our adventure anymore. We're just watching other people adventure. So this is the part of the message where I deal with the thought of he's talking to somebody else and not me. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've had adventures. I just finished one and I'm wrecked. I haven't recovered from the basketball game yet. Maybe you're thinking adventure hurts. I've been on adventures before and they sucked. Maybe you're thinking the cost is too high. The risk is too high. The reward's too low. You're worrying about it. It's all unknown and you can't be bothered. Or maybe I'm not qualified for that adventure you're calling me to, God. Maybe it's too hard, or maybe it's just, nah, he's not talking to me. It's not for me. I'm good. What killed your sense of adventure? Life got you down? Need to have money? You've got responsibilities that you can't drop? Your energy levels are too low? What killed your sense of adventure? So what I want to answer there is when you're thinking that, I'm talking to you. Yes, you. Yes, you too. Yes, me too. It's time for me to go on an adventure. I don't want my own will anymore. I don't want the world's illusion of adventure. I don't want to choose my own adventure. I just want God's will. And so the response has to be, send me, I'll go. Surrender to God's will. Relent of your own wants. Give in to God's call. send me, I'll go. God called, so Abram went. God's calling you, so go. God's calling me, so I'll go. The third part of adventure is the challenge. If you're taking notes, the call, the response, the challenge. Abram faces, by a very quick count of mine, 12 major life challenges on his adventure. And when I say major, I mean drastically major. Challenges to his own safety, his family, his faith, his provisions, his relationships. Anywhere you think of being possibly challenged, Abram's challenged. This will not be easy. In fact, God guarantees it won't be easy to go on an adventure with him. It will cost you. It'll cost you financially, emotionally, physically, mentally. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It will be a challenge. But guess what? If you follow God, it will be hard. If you don't follow God, it will still be hard. See, the comfort and the convenience that we live in is only ever temporary. The comfort is only ever temporary. You're not called to temporary, you're called to eternal. You're not called to achieve something in this worldly place, you're called to achieve something eternal. Something that will change eternity. To bring the lost to Jesus. To introduce this city to its only Savior. You are called to the eternal. And even when the challenge comes, peace can be found. Philippians 4, 12 to 13, Paul writing, and Paul is well and truly qualified from an adventure standpoint, and he's also well and truly qualified as far as the challenge is concerned. If you don't know that, Google it, see what Paul went through. It's lots. Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do this through him who gives me strength. See, adventure with God, you can have peace. Adventure without God, it's still going to be hard, but you won't have peace. The challenge will come. But you shouldn't respond to the call, you shouldn't not respond to the call just because there's going to be a challenge. You should respond to the call anyway. Send me, I'll go. The fourth stage, the fourth point, you've got the call, the response, the challenge, and the building. Abraham, is built by God to become one thing in particular, faithful. So much so that he's actually called the father of the faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, it says, so also Abraham believed in God, or believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, quoting the Old Testament. It says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I said I wouldn't sing from the platform, and now I am. Let's all praise the Lord. Amen. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The most amazing part of adventure with God is who he makes you in the adventure. It's not what God achieves with you, which is great. That's wonderful. It's amazing. But it's actually about who he makes you and who he builds you into. We read before Romans 8 in 23 to 30, that we are conformed in the image of Christ. We're called, justified and glorified and made righteous. We're conformed into the image of Christ. That is way more important and way more amazing than anything we achieve or anything that God achieves through us. See, the adventure isn't about the outcome. The adventure isn't about all of those things. The most special thing about the adventure is who he makes you. I talked about it at my mini adventure of a basketball game. I'm going to talk about a big adventure. 8 years ago, we committed to taking on the church. And as a part of that, God had to deal, or God called us financially to give up. To give up a massive amount of finance. For those of you that don't know, I had a really well-paying job. A job that I was good at, a job that could earn me a very good income. Firstly, God called me and said, you're going to do that 4 days a week. You're going to give up that fifth day. You can still do the job. Go, 4 days. I want your a day a week. And so I gave that up, which was circa $20,000 a year. A year later, God said, time to change jobs. In giving up between the 4 days and the job change, I gave up about $100,000 a year. In part of that, Meg had to go back to work. It's not about the outcome. And it's not about what we gave up. I'm not saying that because I want to big note myself. What I'm saying is who God made us because of that is far more important than any money. Because God stopped my reliance on my own ability and he said, you got to rely on me. My faith for my finances and the provision of our household is no longer in my own ability, but in God's ability. See, it's not about the outcome. It's about who he makes you and who he conforms you into the image of. Did Jesus ever anywhere in Scripture worry about his own provision? Not once. Not anywhere. And I'm not there yet where I have no worry about provision. But every time that we worry about provision, God says, I didn't call you to money. I called you to serve me. I'll sort that out. He made us reliant on him. He made us have peace in his provision. And he made us lovers of God, not money. Believers or stronger believers in his word. I don't want you to take pity on us because we're actually good. We're sweet. God has blessed us so well. Financially, we're not struggling in any way. We're all good. But we're not all good because of us. We are all good because we gave it up. Because we said, God, do what you want to do. If I can have the worship team up, we're going to have last point. We had the call, the response, the challenge, the building, and now we have the outcome. Abraham, I want to read that first promise again in the call. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. Whoever curses, I will curse you. And the people of, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham never saw the full promise. He saw some of it, but he never saw the full promise. In fact, we read in Galatians before that the full promise that Abraham was given is fulfilled in Jesus, circa 2,000 years later. More. The promise of making him into a great nation wasn't fulfilled for circa 500 years after his death. The outcome of Abraham's following God was greater than the promises. It was amazing. He was the first to be counted as righteous due to faith alone. He became a part of the promise of Jesus, as we read in Galatians and as we've become. But let me preface this, because when you're in the middle of the adventure, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. The outcome of your adventure was never the reason why you should do it. The outcome is not the why. It's never been the why, and it never will be the why. The why is because God called. That's it. It's always been because God called. It will always be because God called. It's not because it was a good idea. It's not because the risk and the reward stacked up. It's not because there was challenges and we overcame. It's not even because of who He made us, whilst that's an amazing thing. It's never because of the outcome. It's always because God called. A close friend of mine, sitting in the front row, has said to me multiple times, even if I wasn't guaranteed my salvation and God did nothing for me all my life, He deserves my service just because He's God. Just because He's God. It doesn't matter. And yes, we get all those things, and that's so amazing. That God is so good to us, that He would bless us and save us and have relationship with us. And oh, wow, we don't deserve any of it. But He's still God. And even if there's challenges, even if the outcome isn't what I want, even if in the building it hurts to change who I am, even if all of that stuff is hard, the reason why we respond, the reason why you should go on this adventure is because God called. You can't forget that in the challenges. You can't forget that if the outcomes aren't what you want. You have to remember that it's because God called. We were sitting as a ministry team 6 years ago, maybe roughly. And Reese said something so pointed that it didn't make sense at the time. But later, it just was a massive revelation in my life. Craig asked the ministry team, "Do we think Daniel and Megan are ready to take on the church? And like, is this the right decision? Is this the right way to go?" And as a ministry team, we talked it out. And Reese said, "I hope that it's the only job you can do." And I thought, "How dare you? I'm way qualified for all sorts of other things. How dare you? I know you're an engineer and I'm not, but so what? I'm half as smart as you. That means I'm half as qualified for half as many roles, but it's okay. That's still a lot." Later, after many times in the pit, in the mess mentally, and in all kinds of financial scenarios and all sorts of things, remembering over and over again that God said, "I've got you where I want you. This is what you got to do." I remember now, the revelation was, this is the only thing I can do because it's the only thing God called me to do. I can't do anything else, because anything else would be not what God said to do. The Lord said go. So Abram went. Today God is calling, go, go, go. Don't stay here, go. Go on an adventure with me. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, go on that adventure. If you've never given, go on that adventure. If you've never run a connect group, go on that adventure. If you've never given up financially, given up things in your family, given up whatever adventure God is calling you to, go. Don't stay here. Don't stay in the place of comfort. Don't stay in the place of convenience. Go because God's calling. As we worship, if you'll commit to God, do it now. We're going to stand and worship God together. If you'll do that in your heart today, say to God, send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go.